This episode has been sponsored in part by our friends at Veeam. Are you tired of juggling the cost of AWS backups and recovery with your SLAs? Quit the circus act and check out Veeam. Their AWS backup and recovery solution is made to save you money, not that that's the primary goal, mind you, while also protecting your data properly. They're letting you protect 10 instances for free with no time limits, so test it out now. You can even find them on the AWS marketplace at snark.cloud/backitup. Wait, did I just endorse something on the AWS marketplace? Wonder of wonders, I did. Look, you don't care about backups, you care about restores. And despite the fact that multi-cloud's a dumb strategy, it's also a realistic reality. So make sure that you're backing up data from everywhere with a single unified point of view. Check them out at snark.cloud/backitup. AWS data transfer billing is, to understate massively, arcane. At a high level, first, data transfer inbound is generally free. Next, data transfer to the internet costs a larger pile of money. And three, data transfer between availability zones within a region costs a pile of money that's usually 2 cents per gigabyte in the main regions, but costs can spike way higher than that. Most of this is more or less understood. I mean, AWS certainly doesn't help matters any by referring to the third one as regional data transfer dash in slash out slash between EC2 AZs or using Elastic IPs or ELB. It feels like accounting misdirection. It further doesn't help that every gigabyte transferred between AZs appears on your bill as 2 gigabytes. Let's also point out that this data transfer between AZs isn't just bound to AWS accounts that you control. If you're in US East 1 and have customers sending telemetry to you in large volumes from environments that are also in US East 1, relocating your collection endpoint to another region or cloud provider suddenly makes a lot of sense. Someone at a big monitoring company just listened to that and spat coffee all over themselves while I was saying that. Call me. What's worse than that is, unlike every other AWS resource, you can't pay less to degrade the experience of your data transfer. You can't say, charge me less and reduce my replication time to a week from Tuesday, in the same way as you can save money by reducing RAM or disk. This gives the mistaken appearance that there's nothing you can do about this data transfer burden. Today, I'd like to talk about a variety of ways to work around AWS's data transfer pricing. Some may be more viable for your use case than others. The first, of course, is to talk to your account manager. I would be remiss if I didn't start by suggesting this first. Because at scale, discounting does become an option. If your use case is significantly strange, AWS may be able to do more for you. I don't expect this to be a panacea. Rather, the reason I'm starting with talk to your account manager is that whatever you try next may very well generate a wait, what are you doing response from AWS, and by starting with doing things the proper way, your position becomes much more defensible. Well, I did ask becomes your rejoinder. You can also save money by transferring less. In most cases, traffic between availability zones is some form of replication traffic. If you're keeping 4 copies of the data across 4 availability zones, consider whether you can get by with 3. Alternately, if that's untenable, you'd do well to remember that inbound traffic is free. So, what about having your customers send you their data twice? Sure, mobile users aren't going to love you for this, but if your model is 20 megabytes a month across 500 million customers each, who's really going to notice? And of course, stop using Kubernetes. It's invariably never aware of AZ affinity, so it'll gleefully toss traffic across expensive links instead of free ones. It looks to AWS like one big misbehaving application. This episode is sponsored by ExtraHop. ExtraHop provides threat detection and response for the enterprise, not the starship. On-prem security doesn't translate well to cloud or multi-cloud environments, and that's not even counting IoT. ExtraHop automatically discovers everything inside the perimeter, including your cloud workloads and IoT devices, detects these threats up to 35% faster, and helps you act immediately. Ask for a free trial of detection and response for AWS today at extrahop.com/trial. Also consider using managed services. If you're running databases, message queues, or other services yourself on top of EC2 instances, or paying a third-party vendor to manage their offering for you, consider an AWS managed service that offers free replication traffic cross AZ. RDS, MSK, Amazon Elasticsearch are all examples of this. Are they less capable and less tunable than running it yourself? Absolutely. Are the savings significant at scale? Unquestionably. Is this an antitrust issue waiting to happen? You would think so. On some level, AWS doesn't need to make its services clearly better. They just need to be good enough to not get their offering rejected out of hand, because the data transfer pricing becomes a compelling argument for some workloads at scale. You can also misuse storage services. A number of services don't charge for cross-AZ data transfer more directly than the previous examples did. S3 has no cross-AZ fee. Data transfer is free, with only a request charge to contend with. If you can pass data between AZs using S3 as a conduit, go you. Similar patterns apply to EFS if teaching your applications to speak object store is too heavy of a lift. There's similarly no cross-AZ charge for DynamoDB if you'd rather run a database as a message pipeline. You just pay for throughput. Set a reasonably low TTL on your items, and you don't even have to clean up the storage usage after you've moved the data. You can also misuse other services. Neither SNS nor Amazon Chime charge money for data transferred between availability zones. Note that SNS charges per message, but Chime doesn't. Wait, that seems like something that might get Amazon to shut down your Chime account is, of course, the logical objection here. But as a counterpoint, imagine how sad Amazon Chime's daily active user numbers would be if they ripped out all the bots using it for back-end communications like this. Lastly, you could always try suing AWS for something. This works way better for data that you want to extract from AWS entirely. Think of an exabyte of data that lives in S3. Your solution here is to invent a reason to sue AWS for something. Keep in mind that it need not be a good reason. As long as it doesn't get tossed out with summary judgment, you can demand all of your data during the discovery phase of the suit by attesting that it's relevant to your nonsense lawsuit. Now, while I wouldn't put it past AWS to provide that data via 40 tractor trailers full of paper printouts, that would require them to demonstrate way more creativity than service names like AWS Trainium would indicate that they possess. So there you have it, a general overview of various end runs around AWS's egregious cross-AZ data transfer pricing. Have I missed any that you can think of? The more egregious, the better. Be sure to reach out in the usual places and let me know.
This has been a Humble Pod production.
Stay humble.